So if you'll bow your head, we'll run to the Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for what you're doing tonight. I don't always understand what you're up to, and this is no different tonight. I thank you for giving us the courage to put our foot one in front of the other and to go forward in obedience. And all of God's people said,
amen.
I want to take you to Judges chapter 13. And I think sometimes we give up because we're looking for a natural way of going forward, and we don't comprehend the fullness of God and what he's trying to do in us and through us. And the whole chapter is about the birth of Samson. And I kind of want to go forward with this because most of you probably have already read this a couple dozen times, and you may know them already. You may know the whole, but for those who are on the internet listening to this message, we'll go briefly through it. Verse 1, it says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. That's a long time to be in the hands of the enemy. A certain man named Zorah, that's the town, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. Verse 3 is very important. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are sterile and childless, as if she didn't know. But you are going to conceive and have a son. Now that's a hallelujah verse, isn't it? Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel. Notice it's the word begin. Okay? From the hands of the Philistines. So they've been at this war for 40 years. Bondage is horrible. But now there's a woman that's been seen that needs an incredible miracle. But God is able to do miracles, isn't he? Verse 6, the woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. I love the way this is written. I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink, and do not eat anything unclean, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death. Notice again, even now there's a prediction about his future. It's all laid out, and it's going to be a boy. There's no need of any kind of special machinery. The angel knows it all. Yes or no? Okay. Manoah prayed to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. Notice he's not doubting like Zechariah. Amen? He's excited. He's received the word. He is ready to go to work, but he wants to have specifics. Say, specifics are okay with God. Doubts are murder. Yes or no? All right. Verse 9, God heard Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman while she was out in the field. Now, you'd expect him to show up right where he is, but no, she's out in the field. Say, God does things his way. Amen? But her husband Manoah was not with her. Now, I mean, you might think he's God that he would show up when they're having lunch or breakfast. Or something. Yes? So there goes your wonderful little brain. Okay? There's a reason for all things. The woman hurried to tell her husband, "He's here, the man who appeared to me the other day." Manoah got up and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said, "Are you the one who talked to my wife?" "I am," he said. So Manoah asked him, "When your words are fulfilled," notice it's when, it's not if. It is very important that you see the faith of this man. It's also important to hear his words and how precise they are, not to cancel the miracle. Amen? When your words are fulfilled, what is to be the rule for the boy's life and work? Isn't that cool? The angel of the Lord answered, "Your wife must do all that I have told her. She must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, nor drink of any wine or fermented drinks, nor eat anything unclean. She must do everything I commanded her." Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "We would like you to stay until we prepare a young goat for you." Watch 16. 16 is awesome for me. The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food." I mean, you know, he's got a strategy, this guy. He wants to hold on to this incredible miracle that's in process. Do you ever try to hold on to a miracle that's in process and you just don't want to let go of what's going on? And God, come on, I got your act already covered. And that was so cool to me. "So that we may honor you when your word comes true." Okay? He replied, I'm sorry. Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name?" Okay? "So that we may honor you when your word comes true." And he replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." Isn't that cool? It is beyond understanding. What's his name? Jesus. And the name Jesus is beyond the human mind to understand. I thought that was excellent. Then Manoah took a young goat together with a grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord, because that's what he was told to do. I'm sorry, I skipped some. Verse 16, let's back it up. The angel of the Lord replied, "Even though you detain me, I will not eat any of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord." Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Now we'll go back, okay? Verse 18. He replied, "Why do you ask me my name? It is beyond understanding." Then Manoah took a young goat together with the grain offering and sacrificed it on a rock to the Lord. And the Lord did an amazing thing while Manoah and his wife watched. As the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flames. Cool. Seeing this, Manoah and his wife fell with their faces to the ground. And when the angel of the Lord did not show himself again to Manoah and his wife, Manoah realized that it was the angel of the Lord. Verse 22. Watch how fear reacts. "We are doomed to die," he said to his wife. "We have seen God." Was he right? Partially. But his wife answered, "If the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor shown us all these things, or now told us this." And the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahanadan, between Zorah and Ashtar. Now, again, it is who that stirs him up? The Holy Spirit. Now, all these things are kind of taken for granted when we read the chapter. But if you read between the lines, you get to see a little bit of how God works with you and me. Many, many times we question, and there's nothing wrong with the question as long as the question is in faith. As long as it's not a doubt, and you don't fall under the anointing of fear. So, the woman, in verse 23, if the Lord had meant to kill us, she's going by the evidence. She's already rebuilding her husband because he's fallen under the anointing of fear. How many times has that happened between two people? Many, many times we have one person up and the other person is down. It takes the one that's up to lift up the other. Amen? That's body ministry. Chapter 14, verse 1. I wanted you to go a little deeper because I want to show you something else. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among the relatives and among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistine to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. Verse 4 is very, very important. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord. Think about what you're reading. Here's a young man, he should be marrying a Christian. After all, that's what the law says. But he's got his eyes on a pagan. Not acceptable to mom and dad. Verse 4. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord. Will God hide things from you even as parents? To get his will done in your son or your daughter. So in other words, keep your nose clean. God's got a plan. Now, there's a reason for all this, and I want you to go a little deeper, okay? His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. God's got a plan. For at that time, they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother, and they approached the vineyard of Timnah. Suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. This is the first time that he tastes of what's inside of him by the Spirit of God. So that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. And that's a whole other story. I want to leave you with this. When God has a plan for your children, for someone that you love, and God doesn't tell you, how do you overcome that obstacle? How do you trust if you see something happen that isn't maybe to your liking? How do you overcome? You better get your instructions from the Father. Because you may not know the fullness of the plan of God that's going on. God had a plan to annihilate the Philistines who had actually damaged his people for 40 years. And he was going to use an occasion to rile them up. Say, the Holy Ghost is sneaky. He could be using somebody in my family that I know nothing about. And if I'm critical, I could be in trouble. I could cancel a miracle. If I'm fearful, I will cancel everything. So I've got to trust by choice, because the emotions won't be there. Amen. So I got to get a word from God. That's my job. See, the son has an emotion and he's already in love. Amen? Does he have a clue what's going on in him? No. He's totally, totally out of the picture. But God has a purpose. I can remember several years back when I was watching things fall apart in my family. And I'm getting all bent out of shape, and the Lord said, cool it. Stop it. And he finally brought me back to Romans 8. All things work together for good. So I had this little, you know, like a little A sign made out of plastic, and it says all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. And guess who wants to throw it away? My wife. Ah, this is getting old, you know, it's not perfect anymore. It's been in the bathroom for 20 years or whatever. It's time to get rid of it. I said, no. She says, why? I said, because I need to recite that every single day. Last year, guess what happened? Somebody gave me a big one. All right? And this one is in the middle of the kitchen sink, right over your face. You can't miss it. All things. All family members are anointed of the Lord to do the will of the Father, not yours. Try it on for size. Close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus, there's no accidents with you. Whatever I'm going through, whatever my family's going through, your hand is upon it. If I keep my paws clean and my mouth in line with faith believing, you will turn every problem into a mighty miracle just for me. Because all things work together for good. For those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And that qualifies me. Hallelujah. Amen? I thought you'd like that. How many learned something tonight? See, what we think is a hopeless case is God's plan to just capture the enemy and get rid of him. Because if you study the next couple chapters, it's awesome. Share some hugs with each other.